Okay. All right. Well, Stephen Estock, thank you for joining us this morning from Discipleship Ministries. And just as we kind of, you and I traded a little bit of email, something we like to do, we connect with different ministries that are supported by Trinity, and like to just get an update from you on how things are going, and then we would pray for you. And if you have a time constraint, let us know that. We would normally go maybe 35, 40 minutes, but we don't need to go that long if we need to cut
short.
That's
fine with me. So I blocked out that amount, so that would be fine.
Okay. All right. So you have your prayer requests of some people changing over, but tell us, you know, what kind of, give us some big picture things about going on with you in ministry.
Well, first of all, thank you. Trinity has been a long time supporter of CDM and CEP before CDM, and we're just very grateful for your continued support, and not only in the ministry partnership, but also in other ways, as I've worked with your staff on various things, getting ideas. And so thank you very much. And of course, having served there in Montgomery with you for a number of years, it's great to have this connection. You know, what CDM, what we're doing, you know, our mission being we strengthen the church by connecting leaders to people and resources for discipleship ministry. And, right now, as you can imagine, all over the denominations, that there's that mix of, do we come back together or do we stay at home? And of course, Delta variant just threw all that. People were starting to gear up, and then it just sort of, everybody's very anxious right now, as you can imagine. And it really varies. I'm not sure how it is in Montgomery. Last week I was up in St. Louis for the inauguration of Tom Gibbs. The mask mandates were still there by the county government. I went to Greenville, South Carolina to the event at Second Pres, the Gospel Reformation Network, and nobody was wearing masks. And so it's just that type of thing going on, but I'm sure you see it there in Montgomery as well. So what we're finding is we are trying to figure out how do we do things coming together, because the relational component is so important in discipleship ministry, but yet people are nervous about coming back together. And so we want to provide them with the training and resources. And so this in August, we had a children's ministry conference where it was called the Grow Virtual Conference, where we had pre-recorded elements. We had live Zoom elements. We've had live webinars now for, I think, six or seven weeks. And we're trying to bring that connection. What we like to do is we say we want to see PCA churches develop discipleship ministries that are word-based and relationally driven. And so we want to have that relational component. But it's hard to do that in the COVID world. And so we're trying to do that mix of videotape and then also the personal touch. But you know, we are also starting, in fact, in 2 weeks, I'll be heading to California, believe it or not, and we're doing a in-person conference. Now, we don't have a lot of people there, but this is something we planned back before COVID. We put it on hold for COVID. And then when things started opening up again, the church said, we want to do it. It's one of our, it's an English ministry in one of our Korean Presbytery churches. And they really want to get people together. So Danny Kwan, who's a member of our permanent committee, who's a member of one of our Korean Presbyteries, he is going to be our main speaker. And then I'm going to go and be there. And then we have another staff member. And so we're beginning to see some in-person type gatherings in October. Later in October, we're going to do a gathering for church staff women. We've done that for a number of years. And we're just bringing women who work part-time and full-time on church staff, bring them together for professional development. And it's an aspect of our women's ministry, but it's trying to equip and encourage the women. In fact, I think Becky has been at that, and she might be coming again. I don't know. I haven't seen the list yet, but she does that. And then that week, we're after that, we're also gathering, we're joining together with Covenant Church in Nashville. And years ago, I had this desire, this dream of getting together worship leaders. I mean, there's a rich tradition of worship at Trinity, and that is an aspect of discipleship. How you put together a worship service, the hymns that you use, the songs you use, the lyrics that are there, the prayers that you pray, all of that, I'm convinced, is an aspect of discipleship, where we're learning about the gospel, we're learning about Christ, we're responding to the gospel. And so I've wanted to get together people who do music. And last year I talked to Tim Nicholson, who's at Covenant Church in Nashville. Tim has, of course, Covenant Church in Nashville is very traditional in its style of worship, but Tim has a very, very eclectic background. In fact, his wife is Sandra McCracken, who is very involved with the Indelible Grace movement. And he wants to get to, he had the same dream. And so we're doing that. It's called the Liturgy Collective. And that is third week of October, bringing men together and women. There are some women who are signed up too, who are just learning about how do you do discipleship in the, as you're leading worship, structuring a worship service. How do you think about it with really its intentionality, in rather than just saying, hey, let's pick four songs and sing. Let's be intentional about what message are we trying to do? How is it matching with the sermon? So that's what we're trying to do there. And then later we're going to get our teams together. So it's that mix of still doing virtual, but then also trying to come more online with the personal. So that's partly what we're doing ministry wise. We just launched our registration for our women's leadership training. Last year it was all virtual. This year we're taking the risk, hoping that by February, people will be more engaged, wanting to come together. And so we're going to do an in-person leadership training in February for the women, and an in-person leadership training for our children's ministry in April. Those are our annual events, and we're gearing up for those right now.
Did I see the women's leadership training? Is that the one that was in Birmingham?
No, that's the one that's the church staff women. That's the one over at Covenant Church.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Becky may be coming to that, although she's about to retire, at least from full time. I don't know if you have somebody to replace her yet, but nobody will replace Becky, but so I don't know who would be coming if it's not Becky, but.
Well, and that's what we have it. Becky, you know, she's been doing it. She's got so much experience. That's one of the beautiful things I love about that gathering, because we have a wide range of ages and a wide range of experience and a wide range of church size. And to see the women come together, they have a focus on here's our topic. And right now it's part of just how do you keep your sanity in the midst of all that's going on in COVID. That's sort of that's not exactly the theme, but it's along those lines. That's sort of triggered that. It has to do with self-care, soul care. How do you do it intentionally? And then it's so encouraging for me. I get to go and listen and then watch the women share generation to generation and experience, large church, small church, all of us have the same problems. We just have different resources and how we approach it. So that's a great blessing to me when I go see it.
Yeah. And I guess you're in Lawrenceville. That's where you were located?
Yes, sir. I'm here at the PCA offices. We're one of the offices that's been open. A lot of the offices have gone working from home, but not CDM.
Yeah, I knew some people were, but if you live there, you might as well go to work there.
Right? You know, for me, I worked at home a little bit, but I just like the rhythm and being able to be here. And our office, we got enough space where we can we not right in on each other. So it's been good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bubba, I appreciate, I've had a good conversation with Carolyn. That's another thing that we're really looking forward to is, the connection between MTW and CDM and M&A and CDM. And, Carolyn's been a great blessing because she's got so much time in service there with MTW. She knows some of the people. Lloyd Kim has always been open to how do we partner. Carte Bales is the same way, but it's just trying to get the people who are in the trenches, and Carolyn's really helping that. So I've told her that, but I thought, you know.
Well, you might have done.
Parent always likes to hear how wonderful their child is. So.
Well, I miss you from being here years ago. I'm fortunate to still be here.
You look like you're doing well.
Well, I'm up and about. We're blessed.
But that's another thing that we're trying to do is work, look for ways to, with all the committees and agencies, I'm sure you've heard the relationships between the coordinators is just really, really good. And we want to find ways to serve together. And, that's been a great encouragement to me at CDM as we're trying to move out. And then of course the other thing, and this was the point one on the items for prayer, just to give you an update on Sue Jakes. Sue had been talking, we have been talking about her passing the baton for over a year now. And, she wanted to go till she can get full Social Security. And so we were sort of had that as our target date, which was next year. But then in August, well, actually it was in earlier in the summer, her son, Jonathan, who's a missionary over in England with Surge, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor and it affected his hearing, and he's got surgery on October 2nd. And then, so Sue was concerned about that. And of course that was distracting. And then you had her oldest son, Jeff, who actually contracted COVID. And then he was in the hospital and they had to put him on a vent, and the drugs they used to give him, sedate him for the vent, caused his blood pressure to dive, and he never recovered from it. He actually died. And so I've had to move Sue from being children's ministry coordinator. I'm now calling her CDM ambassador. She has so much now, just caring for her grandkids, of a new widow, taking care and trying to be prepared to go over to England. And so I'm in the process of looking for a new one, a new children's ministry coordinator, but everything's been sort of put into it's actually been exacerbated by just needing to move Sue just for her own health and also for the ministry, just to move her to a more relational connection. And so we're thankful the permanent committee 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, said, Stephen, we just want you to move her so she can connect with people relationally, because that's what she does so incredibly well. And we just want to pay her salary till she can retire with full Social Security and take care of her family. So I was very thankful for that. I didn't know how the permanent committee would go with that. And, but that's been, God has blessed us that really it's with, investments of the way the stock market that we're able to do that, financially. So, but just praying for Sue and then praying for me. I have 7 applicants for the new children's ministry coordinator. About 4 of them are really, really intriguing. And so my prayer has been, Lord, please get people to apply to, Lord, please show me which one you want, because there's some great people here. So I'm looking forward to seeing who God calls in that.
That's a good problem to have what looks like an abundance of qualified applicants.
I was sort of, I'm sort of nervous. And of course, one of the issues we face with children's ministry is so many of our children's ministry coordinators in the denomination are women. And so the idea of look for a man, do I look for a woman? I can see the value of having someone ordained in that position. But at the same time, the great value of being able, one of the things that Sue has been so incredibly gifted at is caring for these young ladies, especially in church plants where we'll have a church planter. They'll all of a sudden get this burst of children and they'll say, who can we get to do children's ministry? And they'll point to somebody and say, oh, you have a little bit of education background. So you're our children's ministry coordinator. And they're young. They don't have any experience really. And just to have somebody come alongside and mentor them has been a great blessing, and listen to them as they're dealing with issues and how do they talk to this and how do they deal with these parents. And Sue has just been phenomenal at that. And so, and I really think the gifted woman is so important, especially in that role. I'm sort of torn between wanting to bring an ordained person there, but then also seeing that it might be something better for a non-ordained person who is a woman to do. So.
Yeah. And I can see that. And our children's ministry coordinator here, Stacy Hamilton, has been to some of those conferences too and, mm-hmm. and, you know, enjoyed that. And I could see where she would connect with a woman who's heading up. Not to say that, you're countervailing thought there or whatever is a bad one either.
Well, and that's what I have a heart for children's ministry. I love interacting with children's ministry leaders. And so, I'm able to bring that ordained because sometimes there are many times the children's directors, they're intimidated by sessions for some reason. And they just need some help coaching. Here's how you do it. But many of them feel I don't want to step out of bounds and just being able to help them navigate that. But that's a role I can play.
Yeah. Questions, anybody? Comments? I have to say I'm distracted by the picture frame hanging over your bookcase there. You and I have traveled some of the same paths. So,
right up there.
Yes.
Yes. That's my, Air Force shadow box.
Yep. Everybody that's been there has one. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll go on. Let us go ahead and pray for you. And, as we thank you. Any other additional comments from you?
Well, one other thing just that, it's sort of a blessing and then also a challenge for us is, a few years ago, we decided that the CDM will publish some resources, especially from CDM authors, PCA authors, or something that we knew that PCA churches really needed. And so we've got this publishing aspect to our ministry. We usually publish 8 to 10. And so we've got a number of things right now, but the interesting thing is we have two books, one on baptism, one on the Lord's Supper, and it's designed for parents to read with children. And it's a hardbound book. We've had the baptism book. It's called the Shepherd's Pasture and Good Shepherd's Pasture. And it talks about what does baptism mean so parents can read it to children. We got a companion book with Lord's Supper. Well, right now we're waiting on a printer to print. And they told us they were going to get it to us in September, didn't do it. And so we're trying to figure out how do we navigate this new thing of providing resources. And the other issue is we have a number of churches where you would understand this, the biblical literacy is so low in our culture now. Yeah. How do we design resources to help them? So we're looking for wisdom. How do we address a resource that serves our church and reaches that broad spectrum of people who have the biblical literacy and then also people who are brand new. Maybe they don't, they've never owned a Bible before or something like that. We want to try to help PCA churches in the area trying to maneuver that whole situation.
Yeah. In a time when there's more books than ever being published, and yet you're right. How do you get the right books to in people's
hands? And that's where we've seen that people come to us and say, I'm so tired of just Googling. I don't know what I'm looking at. And so they ask us for, hey, what are PCA people do? What's good? And of course you have to, some things we should read, but we don't agree with just because to know what's out there. And just trying to maneuver that as well. The other thing we have going, I need to get going on it, is we're trying to publish the human sexuality report that was presented at this year's General Assembly. We're going to combine that with other GA actions and then also the RPCES paper on ministry to repentant homosexuals and trying to put all those together in one thing. We're hoping to get that out by the end of the year too. So, but I'm holding it up right now. I need to write the introduction and then I've got to, go through the, transcript of the Keller DeYoung presentation at General Assembly. If you saw that, it was very good. We're trying to get that transcript done.
Yeah. You got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us pray, and we will go ahead. Bubba, would you start us, please?
Glad to. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can get with Stephen and hear about the discipleship ministry going on really out of Atlanta to the rest of our churches here. And I thank you for his heart and passion for this and his Lord involvement for ministry over the years, even being here with us here in Montgomery. So I pray that you will give him the wisdom of, he's got a lot on his plate right now to lead him in what's going on, particularly in this area of selecting a children's director. Lord, make that clear to him that you would raise up the right person that can continue to work to help educate our children. Lord, it is so important that we clearly educate with our children in this day and age, and the parents that are working. Mm-hmm. So we just thank you for that aspect of the ministry there, plus the others with the women and the music and the publishing. Lord, I just pray that you would be with that. And Lord, I lift up Sue Jakes. I did not realize this was going on, what's going on with her. I lost a son and another one that's got a serious problem. And Lord, being involved in the ministry and making such a difference for so many years. So be with her, Lord. Encourage her, comfort her as she goes through these trials, Lord, and just lift her up and let her still be a part of the work there that she's been involved in for so long. So we just thank you for what's going on, Lord. You have called us to be disciples. And we thank you that we have this aspect of our ministry that will lead us in that area. So be with Stephen, be with his work, Lord. Just bless it. And Lord, I pray that it would grow and make an impact, not only with the BCA, but the other agencies there, MTW, the others that he mentioned there, that we as a body of Christ can make a difference in your kingdom. And we praise you and thank you for this in Christ's name.
Father, I do also want to pray for wisdom, leading, and your provision for a replacement for Sue. And even especially the decision, is that to be an ordained person or not? What would best suit the work there? Do ask your blessings and help with the endeavor to publish the children's edition books on the sacraments, and ask that would be edited well and prepared. It would just be ideal for the target audience. I too want to pray for Sue, and just did not know what we found out. And asked for recovery for her son, Jonathan. Prayed that you would give her grace and as she grieves the loss of her oldest son, and asked that you would surround her with those that would comfort and support her in this time. Thank you for this morning, and just hear a broader segment of things going on in the denomination, and pray your blessings on Stephen. In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for the saints who are there in Montgomery. Lord, thank you for the years of how you've used Trinity to bless the city of Montgomery and the other PCA churches. I even think of the time I was there at Covenant and how Trinity was often an encouragement to me, and not only the church, but also the elders and the pastors. Lord, I do pray your rich blessing on Claude and on the session. All the staff, Lord, I pray that you will continue to use them. Lord, we pray for Becky. She's making this change in her life. And Lord, I pray that you will raise up just the right people to continue the work. Lord, continue to use Trinity to be a beacon of your gospel and your love in the city of Montgomery.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Stephen and for the role in which you've placed him there, and the ways in which Discipleship Ministries is working across the denomination with various conferences and these publications that he's mentioned, the continued availability of resources that will encourage the leadership of our denomination and our churches and members, and contribute to the overall effectiveness as we seek to glorify you, as we seek to spread the gospel here in the U.S. and around the world. I thank you for the strong partnership between the various ministries of the PCA, and I know what Kim has spoken of that since he first began, and has been instrumental in encouraging that in ways that has probably not happened before. So just it's exciting to hear of the ways in which the various ministries are working together. I pray that would continue. I pray for these conferences upcoming, and that COVID would not hinder the work of your church. And that you would guide, and that you would be glorified through those. I pray for these people that have been mentioned, Pursue Jakes and her, the role that she's filled and just the challenges that she's facing now. And I pray also for Karen Hodge and Megan May and the roles in which they are filling with women's ministries, and that you give wisdom for them as well. Father, we give you praise. You are the Almighty and the Sovereign God. We are grateful for your blessings. We're grateful for the work that you're doing in and through us, and pray that you would be glorified in this day for each of us as we go away from this time. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.